on the spot.
Love, hello? Thanks. I love a cappella. You know, and Sherry has a great voice, but I want to sing, you know, How Great Thou Art, just one verse. And but I want everybody to belt it out like you mean it, okay? I mean, lift your hands and let's praise him for just one verse, one song, okay? Let's let it rip. We had great praise and worship. It was awesome. The Spirit of the Lord is here. But let's sing this a cappella and let the heavens hear us, okay?
Everyone's going to sing, right?
Everyone. Yeah, if I don't see you singing, I'm going to bring the mic over here, okay?
Thank you. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Give the Lord a hand clap there. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Sherry. Beautiful voice, right? Okay, today we're going to talk about activating joy in your life. Is there anybody that doesn't need it? We all need some joy? Okay, I do. My prayer is going to be from Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Isn't that a good prayer to pray every day? I mean, seriously, we're out there throwing words out. And the meditation of our heart's going to make sure that the words are seasoned with grace, right? Okay, what brings you great joy? Come on, someone stand up and tell everybody what brings you great joy. Come on. I knew Joey would. She's got a lot of joy.
One thing that brings me great joy is whenever I see my kids playing together and laughing together, it really almost makes me cry every single time.
It should.
Happy tears, not that.
Go ahead, start playing. We'll see your mom cry. Okay, who else? Come on. Someone over here. I'll be right out back. I knew you would. Yeah.
What brings me wonderful joy is when we walk in up here, everybody here knows we don't practice. We just sit down and play. Okay? And when God puts his hand on it,
it goes.
Okay? And it's not anything of us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's great joy. Julie, you said you had something? You better say me.
Well, no, my first thing is waking up with you every day. I mean, it's true. And you know, having the boys in the family that we have and the extended family with your kids and everything. And also on that list is Yuki, our dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's your daughter. I mean, I don't even think you can call it a dog. Clyde.
I believe what brings me the joy the most is knowing that we all are acceptable in Christ.
Because if we realize that we're acceptable in Christ, that means everyone that we've ever met, and ever will meet, is acceptable in Christ.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Okay. Brenda, go ahead.
What brings me great joy is coming down here on Sundays and gathering together. We look forward to every Sunday. Then we had the Sundays we didn't come, but it is great joy. Amen. Just gathering together with brothers and sisters in Christ. We just feel this is our family, and it's great joy. We don't mind the long trip. We make it.
How long is it?
It's 80 miles from Urbana, but it's about 70 from, you know, where we come from, so it's about 100-some round trip. But we don't mind it.
Well, we love having you every week, absolutely. Okay, well, you heard a lot of stuff here. Let's talk about joy. Joy and happiness are wonderful feelings, okay? But there's a difference, okay? Joy comes when you make peace with who you are, why you are, and how you are, okay? So true joy wells up here within. That's true joy. And as far as I'm concerned, happiness and joy are interlinked, okay? But true happiness tends to be more external. Okay, happiness is externally triggered, and is based on other people, like you heard out there, other things, okay, places, thoughts, and events. Okay, that's where happiness comes. I believe they're intertwined. I believe that you know, the joy begins here, and then all of a sudden you just enjoy life more, and you're happy, and you know, we serve a happy God. I mean, seriously, sometimes you hear some of these preachers, and I don't think that's a happy God. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. He's happy. He's joyful. And guess what? He wants us to be happy and joyful. He really does. He wants to see us be happy and joyful, like a mother's heart. Did you have something, Mark?
I was going to say, you know, we talked about how the scripture about how there was nothing enticing about the way Jesus looked.
Right.
It was about the way he was and the way he acted.
Yeah.
And do you think he acted like a grump and that drew him in? I would imagine he had a joy and a love that radiated from him that people couldn't resist.
He has the joy that Joey has looking at her kids. Same joy, same feeling. Yes, that's true, Mark. Yep. If you just rely on happiness, it can go. Happiness can be a fleeting thing. But if you have the joy interlinked with happiness, that's where you want to be. That's very fulfilling. You know, you can buy a car and be so excited. Oh, man, I've been saving for this car. I'm so excited about getting this car. You're sitting in there. You smell the new smell. And then a month later, you get the first bill. Not too happy to make that payment. In his presence is what? Fullness, not this much joy. It's full. And you've all experienced from time to time the fullness of his joy, haven't you? Man, is it awesome. It's a great, great thing. If we're living in his presence, guess what? We have to have joy, right? I mean, isn't that what the word says? If we're living in his presence, then guess what? We have nothing but joy. So guess who leaves the presence? It's not him. He doesn't leave us or forsake us ever. If we don't have joy, we've left his presence. But what's so wonderful is we can come right back in. He says, come on back in. He is calling us today and every day from here on out into a deeper union with Him. Because when there's union, you have to be in His presence. When you're one with someone, you're in their presence, right? We must make joy a priority in the body of Christ. Why? Why should we make joy a priority? I think we answered that. What do you say? What? Yeah. Yeah. Are you attracted to someone that's joyful or someone that's... Wasn't there a cartoon where there was a guy named Schlep Rock or something? And man, wherever that guy went, look out, man. Everybody was running from him, you know? The grace of joy is highly contagious. Think about that, the grace of joy. Sometimes you may not feel joyful, but it's there, it hadn't left, because He's there, right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy that comes from the Lord will give you strength to endure whatever trial, the tribulation in your life, the suffering, whatever. You know, you can't allow the joy only to come out when things are great. You got to let joy come. Wow. I mean, isn't that quite a testimony? Isn't that quite a witness to have, to know that someone's through it? You know, Debbie Morgan's going through all this shoulder stuff and whatever, and the joy of the Lord is her strength. You know, you get around her and you'll see. So, I got to tell you this one. My mom was kind of a jokester. She was fun. And she would go up to strangers and say, "Would you like to see a picture of my pride and joy?" Now, you got to be a certain age group to get this, all right? But she would open up this nice leather-bound thing and open it up. And if you remember back in the day, there was a furniture polish called Pride and a dishwashing liquid called Joy, and that's what she would show them. Pride and joy, yes, okay. So why is joy lacking sometimes in us and other believers? We have a life to live, don't we? And sometimes it's not easy. We let circumstances steal our joy. We let people steal our joy. If you could see joy, you wouldn't give it up. I don't care what someone would say to you. I don't care what circumstances would come up. You would hang on to that joy because you realize what an expensive commodity it is. It's something that you really want to hang on to, like people in the natural would invest in gold or something. So, if the joy of the Lord is our strength, we are to rejoice and be glad in it, right? Expressing God's goodness. Whatever level of joy you are thinking about, there's much, much more. I don't think has anybody hit the threshold of joy? I haven't. And I tell you, I look for more and more and more. Joy is the happiness of God expressed through us. The happiness of God expressed through His perfect idea, and that's you. You are His perfect idea. Joy and gladness are strength giving, especially if the mind is fixed on the things of the Spirit. To rejoice, be glad, expressing God's goodness. Whatever level of joy you're thinking about, there's more, and that's what you got to keep thinking. Do you want to have everlasting joy? Once and for all, the first thing you should do is to get rid of your past. Isn't that one of the biggest robbers of your joy? I mean, you sit there and you think, well, I have regrets. I should have done this. Especially if you have kids, you're saying, man, should have been a better parent. Well, you were a great parent, so quit thinking that way. Or I should have done this or whatever, you know. So what happens is we allow our past to rob us of our now. Okay, if this is the future and this is the past, if I'm looking this way, can I see my past? Back here, I can't see it. So how do we get rid of our past? Well, I mean, that's where you take it to the Lord and say, if there's hurts, He will heal them. He will heal those hurts. If there's unforgiveness, there's not a big recipe for that other than forgive. Forgive. If there's anger, if there's stuff in you that you don't like, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. He cares about you, and He cares about you moving forward, not living in the past. After all, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil is having that knowledge of what has already transpired that's causing you trouble and whatever. You know, it's like in the movies. You ever see the Westerns, even some of the more current movies, where they try to catch a train? You know, they're running to catch a train. Well, if you're running to catch a train, you're either, you know, trying to get away from something or you're trying to get somewhere, right? And so, you know, sometimes you'll catch that train and you'll look back, and that's what's familiar. You'll say, ooh, I don't know. This is unknown up here, but this is familiar. And so what happens sometimes is you jump back off the train. Well, what happens then is you get so tired of the familiar that you finally get to the end of yourself and you say, okay, I'm going to go jump on that train and I'm going to go to where my destination is, whatever that is. So anyway, God is on that train steering you and helping you get to your destination, your desired destination. In John 10:10, it says, but I have come to give you everything in abundance. Everything? Didn't say 50% of the things that you need in abundance. It says, I'll give you everything that you need according to my riches and glory, right? It says, but I have come to give you everything in abundance, and it goes farther than that. More than you ever expected. Life in its fullest until you overflow. The Voice translation says, I came to give life with joy. Not just life, but life with joy and abundance. Man, our God is awesome. You know that? I mean, He cares enough about us that He's going to provide everything we need. We just got to quit complaining. Of course, we don't do that, do we? Did you know that you bring great joy to Him? You say, well, you know, He saw what I did last week. That has nothing to do with the joy that you give Him. He loves you with an everlasting love, and you bring great joy to Him. You know, you can tell when a dog's happy, what happens? His tail wags. We can't do that, can we? I guess we could, I don't know. There was a song, Shake Your Tail Feathers, I guess you could. But anyway, so how do we shake our tail out there in public so people know that we have joy? I mean, they're going to see it where? Face? Your body language? Pardon? Oh, that's a big one. Yeah, if they spend enough time with you, they're going to definitely see it in your attitude. The way you speak, the words coming out of your mouth, like we said in Sunday school, do you understand the words that are coming out of your mouth? Rush hour. Okay. Anyway, so don't let anything rob you of your joy. In what Joey said, attitude, what does your attitude have to do with the amount of joy in your life? That's, you're right on there, Joey. That's exactly what the Lord spoke to me. He said, what does your attitude have to do with the amount of joy in your life? A lot. A lot. You've been around a person that's a chronic complainer? Not for long, probably. Luke 18, 17 says, learn this well. Wow, if the Bible says learn this well, I think we need to learn it well. Unless you receive the revelation of the kingdom the same way a little child receives it. You will never be able to enter in. That's powerful. You remember when you were in Sunday school, I was brought up in a church, and, you know, if we were having children's church and we said we're going to sing a song, guess what? All the kids joined in. They didn't even think about it, did they? I mean, they just joined in. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You know, they're like letting it rip. I love when to see kids praise the Lord because it's so natural to them. So, it's hard to be joyful when you're down, depressed, anxious, worried, angry, upset. But way down deep inside of you is hope. That's where the joy is. And no matter what you're going through, there's joy there for you. And ask the Lord to help bring that joy up out of you. It's a process. I mean, we can't sit here. God's capable to just snap all that stuff out of you, but it normally doesn't go that way. It's just one victory at a time, and you just have to just keep asking, seeking, and knocking. It's a beautiful thing when we see the hand of God bringing about perfection in us. And you've all seen it. You've all seen issues and situations that you may not have wanted, and you went to the Lord, and He took it. Some He hasn't. But that's okay. He who begun a good work in you is going to perform it. He's going to complete it. You know, I don't know if I was going to share this or not, but I'll wait. Okay. You got to get to the root of things. Why are you miserable, frustrated, upset, angry, anxious, selfish, and judgmental? Why? You got to figure out why. Because He doesn't want you that way. What's that? Did she? For some strange reason, it is joy that we hold on to lightly and victimhood that we grab onto. Not this group. I'm talking about anybody that's not here today, you know. Definitely not this group. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to the prize of the higher calling. We have a higher calling. No matter where you are right now, you have a higher calling. And it's for you. It's not for someone else. It's not for someone that's been in ministry for 30 years. No, it's for you. We hold the past hurts and problems when joy, the resurrection life, and a future hope is there, then we see that joy coming up. We see it coming up. You have a choice. Don't we have a choice whether we're going to be joyful or we're going to get down in the dumps? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve, you know, and we choose life and we choose joy and we choose all the fruit of the Spirit. We want all that. What you seek is what we are, what we become. I mean, if you're going to seek after this, you're going to get it. You have it already. You just have to manifest it. So you have to ask yourself these questions. Is there unforgiveness in my life? If there's anybody that you have unforgiveness towards, go take care of it today. Pick up the phone. Do whatever. Do you constantly judge people? Don't watch the news, because it's easy to judge people when you watch the news. Wow. I don't watch it. I turn it off. Do you compare yourself to others? Don't do it. You are unique as you are, and there's nothing to compare yourself to other than Jesus. We are spiritual beings living a human experience. Your true self is divine. Some people might not want to hear that, because then you say, oh, so you're God. Well, the Bible says ye are gods. It's not the me that's a God, it's the God in me that's the God. Right? There's only one life, not two. It's not your life and his life. It's just his life. You died, remember? Do you remember that? You died. You were buried. You were crucified. You were resurrected. And now we're ascending. So it's already done. I love in Peter 1, 1 Peter 1 says, through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation. I like that. I like that. Until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. May the thought of this cause you to jump for joy. This is in the Bible, folks. It's not me saying this. It's saying that, wow, we should be excited about what God has in store for us. It's awesome. It's better than we can ever imagine. Even though lately you've had to put up with some grief of many trials, but these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes, for even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. And I'll add this, in us. Full salvation, you can fight him along the way, or you can surrender, knowing he knows what is best for you. Either way, you will get there. You're going to get there either way. Just have it the fun way or the struggle way. But life will be much more enjoyable along the way if you allow him to take the wheel and steer for you. Jesus, take the wheel. I know that's what you guys are thinking about. Okay. Jesus said, come up here. We've heard that a lot. Some things are concealed below. That's why he says, come up here. The things that are concealed below, you're never going to see them unless you come up here. They will really open up to you if you come up here into a higher realm. A door is open to John in Revelation for him to come up here. Jesus is that door. And he will be shown things to come. Up here means a higher spiritual realm. You believe there's a higher spiritual realm? Paul said he went to the third heaven, but he can't tell us what it's all about. Not time yet. I believe it's time. I believe we're going to see what Paul saw. He was no special person. He was an awesome apostle, but He himself even said that he's least of all the apostles. But God showed him, right? You Lord reminded me of this story. We used to take, my mom and dad loved traveling, and we would go out west for 3 weeks every year. And there's a lot of driving. A lot of driving. And in the first few years, there was no air conditioning in the car. So we were driving. Well, I can remember we went to Lake Mead, Hoover Dam, and it was 110 at midnight. So the only way I couldn't even sleep, it was too hot to sleep, so I took my T-shirt and put it in the cooler and got it sopping wet and put it on, and then I could get a couple hours sleep. But my point is this, my brother and I'd sit in the back seat, and can you imagine two boys in the back seat for 5,000 miles? I mean, it got pretty bad at times. But we would sit there, and we would have an imaginary line down the middle. And this imaginary line basically was, this is my territory, and this is your territory, and the twain shall not meet. So after about 6 hours on the road, you're doing this number. You're coming over there, and you're like, you're just going to the line, but you're not crossing it. And your brother's like this, waiting, waiting. Then once you had to cross it. You know, you couldn't go without crossing it. Once you crossed it, guess what? It was on. It was on like Donkey Kong, man. I mean, we were wailing back there. Next thing you know, the car pulls over. Then it was really on. Yeah, really on. I say that to say this. My dad was a very safe driver, okay? Your dad up in heaven, which is right here, is a very safe driver. We would go for hours and hours and hours, and I never once in all those years felt like I wasn't safe. I never once. You know, never once thought, well, what if Dad wrecks, or what if, you know, this happens or that? I never thought that. I would actually be able to take naps because I felt safe. Our Father knows what's better for us than we could ever know what's better for ourselves. And one thing about it is when my dad was driving, we would always reach our destination. And with God, you will always reach your destination. Little victories here, little victories there. Another word for joy is bliss. Have you heard that word before, bliss? It's a great word. It means great joy. Reach a state of perfect happiness. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? Don't you want to be in a position where if something comes your way, you can just brush it off and move on? Total contentment. It's like marital bliss, like Julie and I. You heard that one, marital bliss, right? Bliss is the natural condition of the heart that is permanently united to a happy God. I'm going to say that again. The natural condition of the heart, it's just natural. You're just like I was in the car. I knew that we would get there. I knew we were safe. Everything was great. The natural condition of the heart that is permanently united to a happy God. Like on the Sermon on the Mount, y'all have heard that in Matthew. Read it this way. Instead of blessed are the poor in spirit, read it this way. Oh, the bliss of the poor in spirit. and just take it right down through each beatitude. Think about a time when you were the happiest you've ever been. Now think about a time that you had the most joy, and remember, happiness is on the outside and joy is on the inside. So if we were to ask that question again, what brings you the most joy? Think about that and think how you would answer that. Because we have to, if someone asks, we need to tell them, right? Someone asks, why do you have so much joy? We were talking in Sunday school, Jim brought up wisdom. Wisdom is so very important in the days ahead. Knowledge is good. It's good to have knowledge. But wisdom's so much better, you know? If you lack wisdom, just ask him who gives wisdom in abundance. I ask for a lot of wisdom. I mean, I ask almost every day because there's an unlimited supply of it out there. You can, anytime you want it, he's going to bring it. Wisdom begins with knowing and depending absolutely on God. Seek wisdom, for once you find her and hold her, do not let her go, for in the end you will find rest in her, and she will take the form of joy in you. Wisdom, not knowledge, is what brings joy. All the joy you ever need is already inside of you. What love he has for us. Okay. Lord, just for whatever, I'll read this, then I'm just going to go to the one thing and close. Once, oneness brings the abundant life that God has already provided us. We need to see a world saturated with God. Boy, do we. Since you're incapable of living your life, he lives it for you. He lives your life for you. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. God made a space. He made a space in himself that is specifically there for you. And when you find that space, it's like inside of him, so that in him we can live, in him we can move, and in him we can have our being. In him. That's where the safe place is, the secret place, the shadow of the Almighty, whatever is in him. Oneness brings that abundant life. We need to be able to love others. He has provided love to us in abundance. We need hope and peace to provide hope and peace to others. If you want to share your hope, then you need to realize you have it all that you need right there. If you want to provide joy to others, make sure that you're joyful. Okay, last thing. I just wanted to do this just for a second here. What I've found in my walk with the Lord right now is meditation is so important in all this. And when you say the word meditation in church, automatically, meditation? Oh, no, not meditating. It's automatically a negative. Well, not when you read it in the Hebrew and the Greek. The word meditate in the Hebrew is to ponder, imagine, and it's a cry. It's a cry in our heart. In the Greek, it's to care for, attend to carefully, and here's the biggie, practice. Practice. For many years, we've talked about practice the presence of the Lord. Okay? And it says revolve in the mind. Okay, revolve, of course, the definition of revolve is to cause to go around in orbit. You know, we know all that. But it keep your, if something's orbiting in your mind, it's there. And you know it's there and it stays there. And so and it means also to remain under consideration, a steady effort of the mind to know God. We have to know him better and better each day. How do you do that? Spend time. Spend time. The purpose of meditation is to expand your Christ consciousness. You're just acknowledging him in all things. That's all you're doing there. To bring into realization divine truth. To be transformed in spirit, soul, and body by the renewing of your mind. 1 Timothy 4 says, don't minimize the powerful gift that operates in your life. Make all of your constant meditation and make it real with your life so everyone can see that you are moving forward. The powerful gift is Christ in you and you in him. The psalmist said in Psalms 104, he said this to the Lord, May you be blessed with every sweet thought, every meditation I have about you. For you are the source of my joy. That's the psalmist talking to the Lord. You are the source of my joy and gladness. Let's just, for just a couple seconds, and we're going to close. Let's just kind of close your eyes. Focus on him. I know this isn't normally done in a church service. You may feel a little uncomfortable, but you shouldn't. Just close your eyes and just take a second, focus on him. Quiet and stillness before him. Don't think about where you're going to eat today or whatever. Just focus on the light, his light. He is light. God is light, and he is the life and the goodness of God. If distractions come in, let them come in. They can leave the way they came. Okay. Anybody have any experience? Were you able to get the thoughts out of your head that you didn't want in there? It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. That's why you got to practice it. You got to practice. And, you know, like Jim was saying, Sunday school, he just couldn't take the time to sit there and really concentrate on the Lord. And the Lord told him, how about 5 minutes a day? How about 5 minutes a day? Who doesn't have 5 minutes a day? And 5 minutes will turn into 10 minutes, then 10 minutes will turn into 15 minutes, and then next thing you know, you're turning off the TV and it's going to be a half hour or an hour. Or, you know, I'm retired, man. I meditate on the Lord every morning for sometimes 2 or 3 hours, you know, because I love it so much, you know. Randy? Turn off Facebook. Turn off social media, right? That's what I did. Delete yourself. Yeah, just over the next week, just kind of just take, block out a little bit of time. And I'm telling you, it's not easy in the beginning. It's not easy for me right now. I mean, it may take me a half an hour to get all the garbage out so I can really enter in. But it's worth it. It really is worth it. And if you just start off with 5 minutes, the key to this whole thing is just like a good friend or just like your spouse or just like any of that. You know, you want to spend time with them. They want to spend time with you. That's just the way it is with the Lord. So I'm going to end the way I began, and that is, Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Clyde, you want to close in prayer?
We rejoice that your mercies are fresh and new every day. every way in everyone's life, if they're going to sit down and have a meal, bless it in the name of Jesus. Bless Debbie Brown. In
Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, your natural father, but the scenario is when you walked in that car, you were giving him your time. You were submitting yes. to the power of your father. Mm-hmm. So that just kept coming to me, submission, because we seem to always went, oh, I can do this better, or, you know, something else will happen and I will have to do that, or like singing or something like, but I'm just saying that we need to submit to him.
Yep, trust and submit, right? Submit and then trust in him. Anybody else? Okay, God bless you. Have a great week.